tend to make excuses. We tend to pass the blame. We fail to see our failures as more than just mistakes. We can't see the wrong in others, overlooking the evil within. So Lord, help us to confront our hearts, to confess and forsake our sin. For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. But confession and repentance would be a healthy start. To fix the heart of the problem of the heart. The heart is so deceitful, so desperately wicked within. And just the time I think I'm fine, I've deceived myself again. So create in me a clean heart, one that's faithful, pure, and true. Then search my heart and try me, help me, Lord, to follow you. For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. But confession and repentance would be a healthy start. To fix the heart of the problem of the heart. For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. But confession and repentance would be a healthy start. To fix the heart of the problem, the problem of the heart.
This morning, ready for preaching today. I'm going to ask that you turn your cell phones off or to vibrate, or we can pass the offering plate. You can put it in there. We'll throw in the trash for you, whatever you like. We just want to make sure we're paying close attention this morning. You say, Pastor, you invited a pastor from Mexico to come and preach, and this is the first revival meeting he's preached in English in 30 years. So if in the middle of it he kind of loses his spot and starts busting a move in Spanish, we'll just get along with him, okay? That's fine. Brother Ramos and I attended Bible college together. We've been friends now for these 30-plus years. I've had the privilege to preach in his church many times. Tremendous work. God has used him and his dear people there in San Luis Potosí in Mexico. And to have him come and preach for us is something I've sought the Lord about. And I hope you're ready to hear and listen very carefully this morning. So let's have the Bibles in our hands ready to go. Brother Ramos, you come preach to us, sir. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, or good morning still. Good morning. It's such a joy to be here. We feel at home. There's many people here that I do not know. Some of you I do know. But it's a joy to be here. Pastor Johnson and his wife, Patty, have been a blessing to our lives and friends of ours for these many years. And it's a joy to be here in this wonderful church. I mentioned it to the men earlier today that this church has supported our ministry in Mexico for 32 years now. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your support. And without a doubt, in heaven, you'll reap the fruit and the benefit of what you've invested, not only in our ministry, but in many places around the world that you've had a part in and have a part in. And may God continue to use you. And I feel very honored and to be here in this wonderful church. I am very nervous because, of course, you know, we feel that he could have invited somebody else to speak for you who can really be a blessing. And I'm just a Mexicano who speaks Spanish and not very good English, but oh well. But I just thank the Lord. It's an honor to be here. God has been so good. May you stand on your feet, please, and turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk in Spanish. Habakkuk. Is that how you pronounce it?
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk. Sorry. Habakkuk. In chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. It's somewhere in the Bible. If you open the Matthew and go back a couple books, you'll find Habakkuk. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and that I shall answer when I am reproved. The Lord answered me, saying, and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Several months ago, last year, going through a very difficult time in our church and our ministry, because of the pandemic, 13 people have died during the pandemic. Our city was very hard hit. It had one of the highest death rates in Mexico, our city. And just seeing so many people suffer, the Lord spoke to my heart from this precious book, when we do not understand what God permits. We don't understand what God allows, even what God does sometimes. And I'm going to speak on this subject, when we as Christians do not understand what God allows or what God permits. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this precious church. And I pray that you'd please, Lord, work in our lives. Lord, I know Pastor Johnson has prayed. And you've led him for us to be here. And I know it's of you. And we pray, we just want to be a blessing. This is your work. This is your church. These are your people. And we're just your servants. And Lord, will you please meet with us? May you please speak to us. May Christ be exalted. And may this be for the furtherance of your kingdom and for you to work and use this church in a greater way. And please speak to us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In chapter 1 of this book, God revealed to the prophet Habakkuk that Babylon, the Chaldeans, were to invade Israel and take the people into captivity, which happened 7 years after this prophecy. Habakkuk did not understand why God was going to use a pagan nation to punish his people. Look with me in chapter 1, verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, hast thou ordained them for judgment? And Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? The wicked Babylon, more righteous than Babylon, the children of Israel. The prophet did not understand why God would permit this, why God would allow the Chaldeans to come and conquer his children, the children of Israel. And Habakkuk, he complains to God. Have you ever complained to God? I have. He complains to God. Look at verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. He says, I'm going to wait to see what God has to say to me. After he presented his case, he'd understand why God was going to allow Israel to be destroyed by Babylon. And just like the prophet of old. There are times we do not understand why God does what he does or why God allows certain things to happen. The beginning of the pandemic, Adan Maroto, 35-year-old, a graduate of our college, married Melanie. She grew up in a church, Brother Rocha's daughter, missionaries to Nepal with three children. They had bought their tickets already to go to Nepal, and he got ill, and 3 weeks later he died. And I said, God, I don't understand why you would allow that to happen. Brother Dan Garlick, evangelist, who God used in a great way all over Latin America, saw thousands and thousands of people saved in his ministry. Good friend of mine died of cancer, my age, very young. I said, Lord, why would you allow him to die? Our son, 8.5 years ago, went to heaven. Lord, why would you allow that to happen? Aurelio Guerrero, 1 year he brought, brother, 300 visitors to church. Director of our Monte de Paz ministry, our ministry that we have to help men who are problems with drug and addiction. Great, great friend, great soul winner, wonderful servant, died of COVID. And so many people in our church this year, this last 2 years, suffered so much. And to be honest with you, there are some things I do not understand. Why, Lord? Why would you permit this to happen? And here in chapter 1, Habakkuk asked God the same questions many people have today when they don't understand why God does what he does or why God allows certain things to happen. Look with me in chapter 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? How many of us have asked God to do something that we know it would be his will to do? You're praying for a son that's away from God, or a daughter, or a son or a daughter, or a husband who's not saved. God, it's been years. God, why won't you hear? Is that your case? Some of us, some of our lives? God, why don't you answer me? I know this is what you would want. But God sometimes does not answer. Then look with me in verse 2. Then he says, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. God, why don't you do something? God, why do you allow bad things to happen to good people? Where were you when I was abused? Why did my parents leave me? Why did they get a divorce? Why did my father die when I was so young? Why did this baby have to die? Look with me in verse 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Lord, why do you allow so much sin? Why so much violence? Why so much wickedness? God, why do you allow this? People ask me, Pastor, why did God allow Russia to invade Ukraine? Many people have these questions even today. Even here today, possibly in this service. And then look at verse 4. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth not never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Lord, why so much injustice? Why do good people have to suffer? Why does this man leave his family and they suffer? Why that injustice? And just like Habakkuk, many people are waiting for God to answer. I've learned in my life that knowing the reason why things happen does not bring comfort. It's true. Only accepting His will and living by His grace will He comfort you. But Habakkuk, after he complained to God, "You are of pure eyes, Lord. Why do you allow such things to happen? Why does this pagan Chaldeans, you're going to use them to punish your people?" And he said in chapter 2 and verse 1, "I'm going to wait and see what God has to say. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me." And God did answer him. And I want to share with you what Habakkuk learned from the Lord as to how to respond as Christians to those things which we do not understand, or why God allows certain things to happen. First of all, look with me in chapter 2 and in verse 2. "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." God said, "Habakkuk, I will do what I have decided to do. Yes, it will come. The Chaldeans are going to invade Israel and take his people into captivity. Yes, it will happen." So what is God teaching us? Even when we do not understand what God allows or God permits, we need to accept God's will. We need to learn to accept His will. Remember, my brother and sister, that His glory and His purposes and His testimony are more important than any petition, any prayer request I have before God. Remember that God is more interested in changing us than changing our circumstances. Learn to accept His will. He is the great, the molder, the alfarero in Spanish. He is the potter. Yes, I forgot that word in English. He is the potter. We are the clay. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. We need to learn that God is God. We need to accept His will. We need to know that He is in control. We need to know that He has an eternal purpose. We need to just say, "Lord, thank you for what you allowed in my life. I don't understand it, Lord, and I don't like what's happening, but Lord, you're my God. You're my Lord. You're the potter. I'm the clay. You're the Father. I'm your Son. You're my Savior. Lord Jesus, you are in control." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The night that our son went to heaven, it was on a Sunday afternoon. He was living up in an apartment in the city. He had been sick, and I'd been worried for him. And I texted him in the morning, texted him after the service, texted him before the evening service. No answer. After the service, Karen and I drove to his apartment, and I walked in, and he was with the Lord. Karen was in the car waiting for me. She came up, and we both stood there at his bedside, hugged each other, and prayed, and that evening, it was late night. Karen had gone home with my parents. My parents were visiting us that time in Mexico. And I had over there, when somebody dies, you have to go through a lot of paperwork with the police, and had to go to the police station and fill some paperwork. And it was just like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when I finally got home. Karen was in our bedroom there, sitting on the sofa, still with her clothes on. And she had not put her PJs on yet. And I walked in and I looked at her and I said, Lord, what do I tell her now? Just lost for any words. And at that very moment, the Lord led me to open the book of Job. And Job said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We both knelt, and we thanked God for the life of our son. And we thanked him that moment that he was in heaven with the Lord. Do not understand why things like that happen. Clearly not. But we understood something. He's God. He knows what's best. So when you do not understand what God is doing at all in your life, just simply accept what God is doing and thank him for what he's done. During that week, the funeral, I received hundreds and hundreds of notes from our church, and actually was many, many more than that, just from many people. But one of the cards that really impacted me was the card of a young missionary's daughter, Ivana. Her father's a missionary in Spain. They were on deputation, graduates of our college. She said that they were in Querétaro when they heard the news that our son had died, and she was 14 years old at the time, and she told her dad, Brother Luis Colorado's his name, said, Father, why would God take Pastor Ramos's son? Dad, God is not good. Why would he do that? And then she wrote all this in a card that she gave me. Then when they got home from Querétaro to San Luis Potosí, where they were living, when they walked in their house, the house had been broken into and they had taken all their possessions. She sat down, she said, and I said, Father, God's not good. Her father was an engineer before surrendering to go to the mission field. Said, this is how God pays us? And then God takes Pastor's son, and she said, Pastor, but as the day went on, and the next day, as I complained to God, and my father sat down with me, he said, Pastor? No, Pastor, God is good. And Pastor, I know that this is hard for you, but Pastor, remember that God is good and he loves you. And that note just meant so much to me. For about a month, I didn't preach. I just sat and let some of the men in our church, our pastors, preach and minister to my heart. I needed to hear the word of God. I needed God to speak to us. But the first message I preached after my son's going to heaven was, God is good. You know, that brings more peace and strength to your soul than if you knew all the reasons why God did something or why God allowed something to happen. Just accept it. He's good. He's God. He's faithful. But please, let us continue. Habakkuk chapter 2, please. How should we respond when we don't understand what God allows or God does in our lives? First of all, we need to just accept what he does. He's God. But second of all, look what it says there in chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Second of all, we need to keep a right heart before God. We need to keep a humble heart before God. We don't need to murmur against God. We don't need to judge God. We need to just keep a right heart before God. God is not the author of evil. God is not the author of injustices. God is not the author of sin. It's the devil. It's the fallen nature of men. God is just. God is good. God is holy. And if you read chapter 2, God shows Habakkuk that he was just in allowing Israel to be punished. He talks here how that they coveted evil, how that they were wicked, how that there was violence. And he shares in this passage why God was punishing Israel. All suffering and all pain is because God, it's because man has gotten away from God. It's because of sinful nature. It's because the things of the world will never be fine until Jesus Christ reigns. God gives man a free will. And all the evil in the world is because of man's sinful nature, because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. But let us continue, please. How should we respond? Accept what he does. Keep a right heart before God. But second of all, and third of all, look what it says in verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Then it says, but the just shall live by his faith. Have faith in God. Believe God. Have faith in God. The promises of God are true. Have faith in his promises. Have faith in his faithfulness. Have faith in his goodness. Have faith in his purpose. He's a sovereign God. Have faith. Just continue believing God. Look with me in chapter 3. Chapter 3 quickly. Look how Habakkuk responded after God shared with him, yes, I will do what I said I will do. And you need to keep a right heart before me. You need to have faith. Then look at Habakkuk said in chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shigonath. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known it in wrath. Make known in wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk, after he heard God's response, God said, the just shall live by faith. Just believe me. Just have faith in me. Habakkuk said, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And if you continue reading chapter 3, he talks about how God worked in the past. He talks about how that he made the sun stand still and the moon stand still. He talked about how that God worked in the years past. Habakkuk said, God, you can still do great things. God can still answer prayer. God can still save. God can still bring revival. He can still do wonderful things. God can still have mercy. God can still raise the weak from their weakness. God can still do a great and mighty work. And listen, in this time of so much uncertainty and so much wickedness, God can still work. God can still bring a revival to your church, bring a revival to our church. He can still bring a revival in our lives. He can still use us to do great and mighty things. We can still see people saved. We can still do the work of God. We can still raise our families for God. We can still have good marriages. We can still grow in grace. We can still be a godly Christian. God can still work. Look what it says there in chapter 3. Verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will evade them with his troops. As he was understanding, yes, that Babylon was going to come and destroy Israel. But listen, to see how a man of faith responds. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be not herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer are my stringed instruments. Yes, we can still believe God. We can still rejoice in his goodness. Rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice. We can still trust in a God who's faithful. We can still trust in his promises. We can still trust in his faithfulness. We can still rejoice no matter what happens, no matter our circumstances, no matter our suffering. There's joy in the Lord. There's joy in his person as you walk with him, as you read his word, as you live by his grace, and you depend upon him. Whatever is happening in your life, you can still live with joy. You can still have victory. You can still have strength in the Lord. You can still do the will of God. You can still be used of the Lord. Whatever is happening in your life, God is still with you. You can rejoice in the Lord, the joy of our salvation. So believe God. Have faith. You can still trust in his faithfulness. But two more truths, please. Back to chapter 2. Verse 5, verse 13. He exposes Israel's sin. And then like in the middle of the verse, in the middle of the chapter, like a verse out of context, look what he says in verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He's talking about the woes of because of Israel's sin. And in the middle of this chapter, he says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know what he's referring to? The future kingdom of God. Look with me in the book of Isaiah real quickly, Isaiah chapter 11. He's referring to the future kingdom of God. You know what he's saying? He's saying, do not lose hope. One day, everything will be better. One day, you will understand. One day, in the kingdom of God, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. He will make everything straight. Listen, there's hope still. This life is just a preparation for eternity. We're not of this world. We're just strangers. Yes, in this world, in this life, we suffer. In this life, we go through struggles and strifes. But one day, we will be in glory. Do not lose hope. It's so easy to lose hope. There in Isaiah chapter 11, and he's talking here about Christ and his and the kingdom. Just for instance, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Talking about the Christ, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit, understanding of the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then he begins to talk about the future kingdom. The verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a kid, and the calf of the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of an ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover as the waters cover the sea. One day Christ will come again. And Christ will set everything right. Do not lose hope. One day there'll be no more injustices. One day sin will not reign. Glory to God. So as Christians, when things are happening that we do not understand, that we're suffering, put your eyes upon the eternal. On the heaven, on the heavens, there's hope. There's hope. We're just passing through. There is another life that awaits us in eternity, eternal life. All that's happening right now in this world, so quickly. Oh, how close the day of his coming is. Praise his name. Keep your eye upon Jesus. Keep your eye on the rewards. Keep your eye in the heavens. There is hope. And lastly, how shall we respond when we don't understand what God allows or what God does? Just accept his will. Keep a right heart before God. Believe God. Have faith in your God. Do not lose hope. A better day is coming. Glory to God. Look at verse 20. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Do not forget, remember that God is still on the throne. Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He is on his throne. He knows what you are going through. He understands your pain. His grace is sufficient. God is on his throne. One day the wicked will get their just punishment. One day the righteous will get their just reward. One day he will make everything right. He is on his throne. And blessed be God, we're his children. And blessed be God, he loves us. And blessed be God, he's in control. He has a purpose. He is still on his throne. It's not easy when we're going through things that we do not understand what God is doing. But to know that this life is a preparation for eternity. To know that he is my God. And I'm his child. And I'm his servant. And that his word is true. That I can have the strength I need and the grace I need because he is still on his throne. We can go through these times of such trials and difficulties have faith in God. He's still on his throne. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Lord, thank you for the book of Habakkuk. Thank you, Lord, that we can still trust and rejoice in you. And Lord, continue to work in our lives. Revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the times. Continue to work in our lives. Continue to give us hope and strength and grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed now.